Hi, my name is Rena Jain. I'm a psychologist, wellness coach, and a podcaster. You're now listening to the Happiness Project podcast, a podcast that will help you look at things differently and push you to have a better experience of life. My wish for you is that you find peace in this moment, that you do things that really lights up your soul and sets it up on fire, that you keep pushing yourself to be a better person with a grateful and compassionate heart, that you put yourself out there because life is too short to be living for anybody else but you. I really wish you bloom with grace. Because trust me, you are one intention away from an entirely different life. Hello everyone, I hope this week is treating you well and you are just as excited as you were in the beginning of this month. We're now coming towards the end of the summer wellness series and it has been a thrilling experience throughout the month. Especially because I've seen massive changes in my life by incorporating all the things that I've mentioned in the entire series. The journey towards wellness has taught me that wellness is just not about the physical aspect, rather about each and every aspect of our being, from physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. And it's so important to consistently keep a check on how we're doing in each of these areas because there is a tendency that we may not be able to cater to each and every area. And that's exactly when balance is required. Wellness can also often feel like an all or nothing pursuit. Like if you don't have time to do it all perfectly, you might as well not bother with anything at all. But you know what? Even simple, small changes can drastically improve your health. I'm going to share a couple of things to quickly summarize this series and most importantly, introduce you all to our very special guest on the show today. I'm so delighted to have Dr. Anita Jain, who is a homeopath for over 2 decades, is also a mother who is constantly juggling between different roles in her life and killing it, who will share some incredible ways to make wellness a priority. Her journey towards wellness has been extremely inspiring because she has grown through what she has gone through in life. And her experiences led her to focus on holistic wellness rather than just one area of her well-being. In fact, she's gone through some very severe skin problems, issues related to her infertility, and a lot of things that she overcame throughout her life journey. I'm so sure that so many of us can relate to her life journey because it resonates to us in so many different ways. Honestly, it takes a lot of courage to be exactly who you are in front of a very, very big audience. She has been herself. She's been so vulnerable and absolutely plainly honest to herself and to all of us. I'm so excited for this interview, especially because I'm interviewing my aunt, who I spent most of my life with, you know. And it's really exciting and thrilling and somewhere I feel even after being under the same roof, there's so much that I don't know about her. And this interview has sort of helped me break the ice with her and get to know her from a very, very different space. So thank you, Auntie, for doing this. So guys, do tune into the entire episode because we touch base upon ways we can achieve a healthy lifestyle, on how we can incorporate small ways that can have a leading impact on our well-being and how imbalance in one area of our life can lead to an imbalance in our overall well-being. In fact, we also discuss about how we can achieve an optimum level of well-being in each area of our life during the pandemic and under lockdown, and also how binge eating and guilt tripping are the major causes of an unhealthy lifestyle. So tune in and take with you all the important remedies and suggestions from our very expert Dr. Anita Jain to kickstart your journey on wellness. But just before we get her on our show, here are a few quick safety tips for you this summer. Number one, hydration. It's so important for you to keep yourself hydrated because, guys, it's very, very hot, okay? So have as much water as you need at this point in time. Number two, have healthy and light meals. Our appetite decreases in summer because of the excessive heat, but it is important to provide nutrition to our body. Number three, avoid caffeine and fizzy drinks. Honestly speaking, I know it's very, very difficult, but try to reduce the consumption of these products for a healthy summer. If you do have them, pair them with nuts, unsalted popcorns, plain peanuts, whatever that works best for you. Number four, wear the right clothes. I typically wear black clothes irrespective of what the weather is, and my mom is totally behind my life and she keeps on telling me wear something colorful. So I do know why she says that. So always try and wear something loose and light, especially in summer, because they allow the free flow of air. And number five, exercise for minimum 30 minutes. In this entire month of April, what I've tried and done is include wellness in every area of my life, right? So one of the things that I've been doing is working out. I know India has been under strict lockdown. I live in Bombay, so it has been even more complicated over here. So of course I can step out for a walk, go for a run. I've been doing that consistently. I've been trying to accomplish 10,000 steps a day. I've tried keeping myself as active as I could. So I've done all of the things that were possible for me. At the end of the day, what matters is you are moving. Your body is active. All that matters. So do anything that works best for you. It also improves blood circulation in the body, preventing headaches and migraine attacks during summer. So you can opt for indoor activities as well if it's not possible for you to step out. You can do yoga, you can dance, you could probably do some Pilates or HIIT training, whatever. There's so many resources available out there. So guys, buck up and kickstart your summer on an amazing note, okay? And most importantly, the threat of COVID-19 is still looming over us. So don't forget to wear a mask that covers your nose and mouth. Always carry a sanitizer and wash your hands thoroughly once you're back home. Also maintain safe distance and follow all social distancing protocols set by the WHO. Okay, so getting back to welcoming our guest, I am so excited to have Dr. Anita Jain on the show today. So without taking another moment, let us now welcome Dr. Anita Jain on the Happiness Project podcast. Thank you so much, Auntie, for doing this, and I'm so excited for our interview today.
Thank you, Rehna, for inviting me on this episode. And this topic, wellness, is very close to my heart.
I am so sure. I mean, I've known you for such a long time, and I know how your journey has been. Well, since you are a homeopath, there tends to be a lot of misconception around this space. People have said things like, oh, the treatment is so slow, or being on homeopathic medicines gives the placebo. So how about you clarify this myth for all of our listeners?
First, I think you need to understand this science, which works on the principle similia similibus curantur. To make it simple, like cures like. Treatment must be individualized or tailor-made to each person's specific symptoms. We take history, like his symptoms and his needs, his emotional state, intellectual state. See, for example, if two people are battling with same illness, they both will receive different medicines. And regarding your misconceptions regarding slow and it doesn't work on chronic conditions, unfortunately, people come to a homeopath when the disease is advanced. So I will recommend to approach a homeopath before it's progress. So results will be easier and sooner, Like regarding placebo, it's a well-proven science. And we have those white sugar pills which act as vehicle for we add medicines, and they are tailor-made and they work differently on different person. So we add different medicines. That's a misconception, because we have those white pills and everyone thinks that we are giving same medicine to everyone. Regarding this chronic diseases, it can treat serious and advanced diseases also. Even autoimmune diseases, cancer, you will not believe, we can treat cancer. And acute diseases, we can manage within 2-3 days, and it works really good in allergies, even psychiatric cases. So in total, I want to say that it's a holistic approach.
Right.
Absolutely. And it can treat right from cold to cancer.
Wow, that's amazing. In fact, you know, you've gone through quite a lot in your life, and you've seen, I think you have over 2 decades of experience in this space. So I would love for you to, you know, give some idea and insight into your journey with wellness and how has it been for you?
Thank you, Rena, for asking me about my journey that had significant role in shaping my entire life. So I would like to take you back that how it all started. You know, I belong to a small town with a strict father who had a lot of expectations out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had a choice, like with respect to my life, career, marriage, etc. And always had this pressure to prove others that continued to persist even after I got married.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This led to people pleasing and also affected my mental state. After my college, when I got married,
mm-hmm.
it was a joint family, you know. It was around 15 to 20 people in a family.
Right.
And that was really challenging because I was constantly juggling between so many roles and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And my journey since then had been extremely challenging. I had difficult time to balance between family, work, and even adapt to city life. And I already had that rosy hue on my cheeks during my college days. And, you know, people used to always admire that, right. You know, like, and they, I just thought it's just a stinge on my color.
Right.
And even I was enjoying that, like.
Of course.
Then it started suddenly, you know, increasing after my marriage. I had to consult a dermatologist.
So that was on your skin, on your face?
Yeah. It was just a light pink tinge on cheeks.
Okay.
That's
okay.
All. It was not very prominent. Right. And mostly it used to come when I used to blush, when I was shy, or people thought it's like you're blushing and all.
Yeah.
So I never noticed that it's a skin problem.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So then I had to consult a skin doctor because it was so obvious. People used to ask me, you know, look, mm-hmm. what's wrong with your skin? Why it's so red? It looks like, you know, angry skin.
Mm-hmm.
So then the doctor diagnosed like that it's acne rosacea and recommended some lifestyle changes like avoiding harsh sun, stress, spicy food. Mm-hmm. And many other things. Right. But I neglected that advice as you never give your health a priority.
Right.
Then after a few years of my married life, I ignored that thing.
Completely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was not conscious about my looks. People used to ask and I just neglected.
Right.
Then after a few years of my married life, we were planning to start a family. Then I was unable to conceive for almost a year or two of trying. And then we consulted a gynecologist. We were advised some tests and lifestyle modifications. By God's grace, our reports were good and then started the journey through infertility for almost 10 to 11 years. Mm-hmm. Our life was revolving around our monthly cycles. This resulted in significant anxiety, low self-esteem, and depression. It was like a vicious cycle of guilt, anxiety, and anger. And in this process, we were not able to enjoy our marital life. I have gone through several rounds of infertility treatment. Every time the fertility treatment proves to be unsuccessful, we as couple experience deep feelings of grief and loss, and even you experience loss of identity and have profound feelings of, you know, defectiveness or, you know, incompetence.
Right. It must be mentally so draining.
Yeah, it was really draining.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period, I will narrate you an incident where I had some skin eruptions on my body. It started on my hand. And as usual, I always ignored my symptoms. Then it started, you know, with flaring on my body, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to consult a dermatologist because it was severe.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said it's lichen planus, it's an autoimmune disease. And she said the reason for this is stress. And that moment, I was unable to control my tears. And I was crying inconsolably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rena, I was a kind of girl who used to never cry in front of others. I used to always hide my tears in the bathroom. Mm. I never open up. I never used to share my feelings, you know. Mm. And that moment, I was crying inconsolably in front of her. Then she just prescribed some medicine and I went home. I did some introspection whether really I need these medicines.
Mm-hmm.
All this while, I was in denial to accept my emotional state. And when that awareness and acceptance happened, and then my recovery started. I did notice, like within a week, those patches were fading.
Wow.
And I have never taken a single medicine, you know, for my skin problems like this. Like even lichen planus, you can say my acne rosacea. Though it's not completely gone, my acne rosacea, because my skin has thinned out. But it's under control. I don't see acne anymore now. And I was able to, like, you know, see the changes, you know.
Of course.
With just that awareness.
Wow, that is incredibly miraculous.
I'm not saying that you should avoid medicines when you need, but you should identify the triggers, you know, and manage them. And thus the importance of wellness came into my life. And I realized how important it is to achieve balance in all areas of your life. Like acknowledge and accept that you cannot do everything, and that's really okay.
Correct.
And you have to schedule your time for yourself, pamper yourself, learn to say no, and the importance of self-care. Above all is, when you're not happy, you cannot achieve that bliss in all areas of your life.
So true. Very, very true. Wow, I think your journey is so, so inspiring. And, you know, knowing that you've gone through so much in your life, and it's been challenging, of course, but, you know, the way you've shared it, it looks like it has made you a stronger person than you were earlier, and it has helped you grow into ways you never thought you would. And, you know, it's so inspiring to know. Thank you for being yourself, being vulnerable. I think this is what is needed. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, Rena.
The term wellness has taken a lot of attraction and attention in the recent years, and the definition has kept evolving. So how, according to you, would define wellness?
See, when you talk about wellness, it's not merely absence of disease, or it's not just a state of happiness.
Right.
It's about a state of being happy in many other spaces, not only physical, I will say emotional, environmental,
right,
intellectual, spiritual. So it's multidimensional. Wellness is all about a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. It determines how we feel ultimately, how we look, how we feel, interact with others, and thrive in life and work. Wellness is a journey, and we have to search the right tools to make you a healthier and happier human being.
Right.
And how you apply these tools, it's very important.
Yeah, just knowing them and, you know, not doing anything about it won't help.
That's true. So this is also a holistic approach. It's not just a state of being happy or healthy.
Correct.
It's a journey.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how can we try and achieve a healthy lifestyle?
So there are several ways to achieve a healthy lifestyle. One of the ways we can do this is by, number one, I will recommend sleep. Sleep is one of the important things to incorporate in our daily lives, especially having a sleep routine. Sleeping on time and waking up on time. There's a saying, you know, sleep like a baby. There's a reason why they say this. One of the major causes of an unhealthy lifestyle is sleep deprivation, which leads to a lot of health conditions like obesity, heart disease. So I will recommend you should have a sleep routine.
Correct.
Second thing I would like to say is lift things and move around. Nowadays, we see a lot of youth around me who have become couch potato and are living a very sedentary lifestyle. So it becomes all the more important to include movement in our day-to-day life. For example, just including simple things in your life like using stairs instead of an elevator, or using a bicycle and not using cars or vehicles for short distances. Another important aspect of healthy lifestyle is not put anything toxic in your bodies. For example, it could be smoking, drinking, soft drinks, packed food, drugs, unnecessary medication.
Anything that is toxic.
Anything that is toxic. From my personal experience that I shared earlier, avoiding stress. And it's most important because stress is the leading causes of many chronic illnesses.
So how can we beat stress?
There are few ways I will recommend, like exercise. Exercise is very important because it releases endorphins. Endorphins are happy hormones which makes you happy. You can do yoga, you can do meditation, you can do gardening,
Correct.
Or pursue some skills, which makes you happy.
Correct.
And your critical aim should be lifestyle changes, as you need to stick with it. And to remember that being healthy is a marathon and not a sprint. It's a journey.
You've shared some amazing tips and tricks that we can incorporate in our lives just instantly. Thank you so much for sharing that. So what benefits have you seen during this pandemic in relation to your overall well-being, and that you would encourage everyone to incorporate in their lives even when all of this is over?
See, COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted every aspect of our ordinary life, and exercise routines are no exception.
Right.
Although it might be tempting to skip your workout during these challenging times, but I recommend it as essential for your physical health and mental well-being. I'll give you some reasons why you should be active and you can exercise safely during this pandemic. As you're working from home, limiting trips to grocery store, unable to go to gym, and all the extra hours you're spending at home may make you more likely to snack, stress bake, or prepare high calorie comfort food meals. Additionally, many people are coping with fear, anxiety, stress, financial concerns, all can have a negative impact on diet. So I recommend physical health and mental being very important during this pandemic.
Wow, of course.
So I'll narrate what's the importance of exercise during this pandemic.
Sure.
Why it is really important. Here are a few reasons. Exercise will boost your immune system. Even the research shows that regular exercise has immune boosting benefits that may help your body fight off infections, including COVID-19.
Right.
So it may prevent weight gain. It helps in burning extra calories and offsets the effects of sedentary activities. So you can ward off all these things by exercise. It reduces stress and anxiety. You know, right now, like, exercise is a proven mood booster because it releases endorphins and which ultimately reduces your stress.
Correct.
It improves your sleep quality overall.
Right.
So next thing I'll suggest, exercise keeps you moving. It's very important. Movement is very important.
Of course.
You are advised to stay at home, so exercise will help you moving.
Right.
And I'll recommend exercise with family. It's an excellent opportunity for family fun, yoga sessions, walks, or just are just a few examples you can do. You know, like, you can enjoy this exercise with your family and you can connect with your family.
Yeah, this is the best time.
Yeah. Get outdoors, of course, with your mask on. Like, you can do walking, cycling, which can get some much needed fresh air while staying safely from others.
Right.
You can maintain the social distance.
Yeah, but at the same time, have fun.
Yeah. I will advise, if you can do, you can go for online exercise videos, or you can join some virtual classes and like, you can challenge yourself, you know, set an exercise goal.
Right.
So which will help
motivate you.
So the bottom line is, although it may take some effort to create and adjust to new fitness routines, regular physical activity can help you optimize your health and well-being. The second most important thing is, during this pandemic, I've learned, like, hygiene is very important, especially hand hygiene.
Yeah.
So, like, washing your hands frequently, using sanitizers, not touching your face, which lessens the chances of infection, you know?
Right.
You can't completely avoid it, but at least you can reduce the chance of infection.
Correct.
So it's very important, hand hygiene, which we used to not previously do often.
Yeah, we would not really focus,
focus on it.
Yeah.
And then another important thing is practicing self-care. The best way to do this is implement simple things like practicing good hygiene, especially hand hygiene, meditation, spending time in nature, your hobbies. This is the best time, you know, Rena, you can do this. And something that you enjoy, really. And most importantly, connect with ourselves so we can step out and connect to the world effortlessly.
Absolutely.
And one more thing, you can connect with your family and friends. Maybe no, you can't meet them personally. You can do it virtually.
Right.
This will build, you know, the sense of belonging. Spend some quality me and family time. And one more thing I like to focus, you know, reduce your screen time. Rather, use this time to learn cooking, gardening, dance, or in matter, anything which you were not able to pursue due to your hectic routines. So also these days, Rana, we can interact more with your family, friends through social media. Now we are blessed, you know, to have these virtual platforms to connect during pandemic.
Of course.
And this will, you know, build up your social well-being.
Right.
Which is very important.
Very important. Yeah.
There is also a sense of understanding that what matters is happiness and the experiences we create in the present. exactly when mindfulness and holistic wellness concepts are making a great impact.
Right.
And one more thing I'd like to add, practice gratitude.
That's so important.
So these are things you can incorporate in your life during this pandemic and even after pandemic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing these. I think they are some very, very helpful and beneficial tips, which I'm very sure a lot of us are going to find very effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since we are also spending time, a lot of time at home, there's a tendency to engage into binge eating, and that in turn leads to guilt tripping. So how can we avoid doing that?
First of all, I like the audience to know what is binge eating. You know, binge eating is the consumption of large amount of food in a short time.
Right.
And it can lead to, you know, feelings of guilt, shame and depression.
Yeah.
It's a disorder that is most common disorder. It's a most common eating disorder. You can see in developing countries. Most of the times you see in developing countries. So I will share like some tips and treatment options for this disorder.
Yes,
I will like to focus on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first thing is avoid dieting. I will definitely suggest everyone not to do this. You know, like these days, this is a culture like, you know, fad dieting, you know.
Oh, yes.
And intermittent dieting and keto dieting.
It's a trend.
It's a trend. Mm. When you plan a rigid diet, it can lead to feelings of deprivation.
Mm.
Significant cutting of calories lead to starvation.
Yes.
The body will go into starvation mode. And these situations lead to episodes of binge eating.
Mm.
So I will not recommend starvation.
Of course.
Rather than following a restrictive or fad diet, you can focus on filling up your body with nourishing foods like fruits and veggies, like whole grains, healthy fats.
Mm-hmm.
These days, you know, like people advise don't eat fats. Like you can substitute healthy fats, you know, rather than going for those butter, mayonnaise, and you can avoid all this and you can choose healthy fats like nuts, seeds, avocado, and in India, you know, we use ghee.
Yeah.
Ghee. So you can add these things in your diet, and healthy fats are really important for your hormones. So you add healthy fats in your diet. I will recommend.
True.
Then next thing, I'll recommend exercise.
Yeah.
Which I focused in your previous question.
Yeah.
Like
the importance of exercise.
They are important. They release endorphins and then they boost your mood. And better mood can reduce the risk of emotional eating.
Yes. That's everything is connected.
Yeah, they all are interlinked. So you have to focus on exercise. The next thing I'll address is identify your binge eating triggers. Most of the times we often binge eat in response to loneliness, boredom, sadness. So identify and manage them. For example, if boredom is the cause, you can engage yourself with an activity such as exercise, reading books. It can be anything, you know, cooking, meeting friends.
Keeping yourself busy.
Keeping yourself busy. That's the whole idea, you know.
Hmm.
So there is a strong link between binge eating and low self-esteem and low sense of self-worth. Then you can, you know, see a therapist. I wish you all to see a therapist, you know, those who are going through this.
If it's very extreme.
Yeah, if it's very extreme, if you can't manage, you need to see a therapist.
Right.
And I will recommend reduce stress. That you can do by eliminating your stresses. You can practice meditation using deep breathing techniques like yoga, getting enough sleep, use alternative therapies. Even I will recommend alternative therapies, you know, like massage, acupuncture or aromatherapy.
Right.
They also help, you know, in reducing your stress. And one more thing is do not skip meals. It's very important.
Yes.
Like skipping meals can cause blood sugar to drop, which prompts body to crave a quick boost of sugar. Then you'll go for, you know, candies, you'll crave for cakes or donuts. So avoid all this.
So how would you recommend to cut down those cravings?
You can have a planned meal, a regular schedule of meals and snacks. And focus on nutritious food.
Okay.
Another suggestion is you can practice mindfulness. While eating, in one way to avoid binge eating behaviors, you can eat slowly.
Yeah.
Enjoy the textures and flavors of your food.
That's so important. I think you all forget that nowadays. Yeah.
When being mindful, people are less likely to overeat.
Yeah.
And another thing I'll suggest, remove temptations. You can easily avoid junk food from home Like, you always do, you know, you stock things with all junk food. So,
yeah.
like, whenever you are hungry, you go and eat all those things.
Right.
So, avoid this. Rather than, you can have always have this helpful options. Like, you can keep a nutritious snack in your car, at your work desk, or in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can reach those things rather than going for junk food.
True.
And one more thing, don't confuse thirst and hunger.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's so true. I think a lot of us kind of have a confusion whether are we hungry or are we thirsty. So, I think that's such an important
So, first
point.
Try having a glass of water. Then you see whether it satiates your hunger.
Okay.
And if it doesn't, then go for.
Right. That's so nice. Yeah.
Drink plenty of water. I will recommend drink plenty of water. Like, how will you confirm that you are drinking enough water? It's just checking your color of your urine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it's light yellow, it indicates good level of hydration.
Right.
So, ultimately, I'll recommend you should be well hydrated.
Okay.
And one more thing I will recommend is enough sleep.
Mm.
Sleep like a baby, you know. If you lack your sleep, it can increase feelings of stress, low mood, which may trigger again binge eating. Even research shows lack of sleep contributes obesity. So experts recommend 8 hours of sleep.
Okay. Yes, that's important.
That's really important.
Wow.
So these are the recommendations to avoid binge eating. And if all this doesn't help, then you can go for these treatments like psychotherapy, medication, lifestyle changes, or rather join some health centers.
Right.
Like yoga and another thing, like whatever like will help you. And you can try these also. If these tips will not help you, you can try this.
Perfect. I think this has been so helpful. I think these are some really, really insightful tips into binge eating, because I think especially because of the pandemic, we are all going through something like this on a regular basis. In fact, I see my brother, I see my cousin who are constantly engaging into binge eating, and they sort of get hungry at 12 a.m. in the night, and this is simply craving, and it's not even hunger, it's just craving, and they do that extensively. And how do I know this? Is because I'm now able to identify the difference between hunger and thirst. And of course, I do recommend them to substitute their unhealthy junk diet to healthy one. Yeah, they do obey sometimes, they do listen to me sometimes, but I think it kind of goes unheard. So, well, that's how we are all wired to do. But I think it all also comes down to awareness. So I think once they recognize how important health is, so I'm sure they will take a healthier path towards their life. So when we're doing very well in one area of our life, it somehow impacts our overall well-being and vice versa. So how do we achieve a balance in all areas of well-being?
These days, everyone is really busy, and you have responsible towards your family, work, your children. Sometimes we let our schedule run our lives as opposed to taking charge of a schedule and priorities, and this results in exhaustion, stress and frustration. I will suggest take action today to bring a greater sense of balance to all areas of your life, and remember there is more to life than the daily grind.
So how do we identify whether we have a balance in our lives or not?
Like, I'll mention few signs that your life is going out of balance. First of all, your to-do list appears to be the size of Eiffel Tower. You feel you're very busy but not sure you're accomplishing anything. Like, you're not satisfied. You're doing so much of work, but at the end you don't feel that you have accomplished something.
Right.
You're not productive. You feel burned out. You're constantly tired, complaining of headaches or other emotional signs of stress. You feel like you have lost your direction. You don't have purpose in your life. You feel that you're moving through life with no freedom. You are not able to pursue your priorities. These are some few signs
to identify.
Identify that you're not able to achieve balance in your life.
Yeah, that's very good to know. So according to you, what would you suggest we do?
I think the most important is acknowledge and accept that you cannot do everything all the time. And that's really okay.
Right.
So stop and take a deep breath, and all you can do is enough. Let go of the need for perfection.
Okay.
And the second thing I'll suggest is manage yourself and not time. There is really no such thing as time management, but we can manage our activities as we all have exact same amount of time, 24 hours a day. So it is being proactive and realizing the power of choice and knowing what you do have control over.
Right. Sometimes we go about with life where life is controlling us.
Yeah.
Right.
And there should be a proper planning, you know, like you are willing to add some things to your life, like which are really of priority, and you can subtract some things, you know, like they are of not a priority in this moment, or like you just can subtract those things, you know, which
yeah,
maybe
are not important.
Yeah, they're really not important. So add and subtract is one another thing you can do, which are of importance, and like you have to make a choice, like, you know, which are really important.
Right.
So another thing is learn to say no. As we say yes to things, because we feel pressure all the time, you know, to give immediate answer. Always remember, you have the right to take some time to think before responding. Being able to say no is a critical piece in reducing stress and balancing your life. So learn to say no if you are not able to manage things, you know.
Yes,
just for pleasing, just don't say yes, you know.
Yes, I think it's very difficult for people to say no because they're constantly pleasing everybody else and, you know, keeping them above themselves.
Yeah. So priority is, you know, like you should have time for yourself.
Yeah.
And if you don't take time and steps to, you know, preserve your health and well-being, then who will, you know? You should take charge of your life,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
So it is wonderful to have other people in your lives. We can help, work with, be friends. But however, you should be your own best friend first.
True.
That's the most important thing. You should make yourself a priority to what brings you comfort, health and joy. Like you can be doing resting, playing, take at least some time to read, to walk and to rest.
Okay. That's wonderful. I think you mentioned about a couple of points which I think are very, very important.
I would also like to add, you know, the best life balance plan is different for each of us because we all have different priorities and lives. Here I want to quote, life is a journey, not a destination. So be cognizant of the signs your life may be out of balance and start taking steps today to regain your sense of control and life balance.
Wow, you've just said so rightly. I think there's no one size that fits all. And, you know, we all have to recognize what suits best for us. So thank you so much for that as well. In fact, there are a lot of myths around wellness that have a negative influence on our well-being. For example, you're healthy if you're skinny, or exercise is the best way to lose weight. So can you also throw some light on these myths and clarify it for our listeners?
See, I'll rather generalize this thing. Actually, these days, this well-being is presented as complicated, complex, difficult, you know, it is difficult to achieve correctly and best when purchased.
Correct.
It's more of a commercial market.
Yeah, yeah.
They have made this into a complicated consumerist mess. This doesn't mean that diet and exercise aren't important. For example, studies show that more physical activity was associated with longer lives and fewer heart attacks and strokes. This included not just formal gym going exercises, but even simple walking and your household chores. In other words, you don't have to tie yourself to a treadmill to get fit. Like any amount of running, even just once a week is better than no running. Obsession isn't necessary. The same goes for the diet industry. Weight loss is certainly a mainstay treatment for some conditions. Like here, the very idea of pleasurable eating is immoral for this industry.
Correct.
So even the modern incarnation well-being is a big commercial market.
Yes, yes.
Our well-being should not be measured by how thin you are. Don't define being healthy by ideal body weight. Like many other, you know, myths like eating fat, eating carbs makes you fat.
Oh yes.
Rather, they are very important, you know, for
Correct.
Your balanced diet, you know.
Yes, that's exactly why we call it a balanced diet.
Balanced diet, you know. Like I can quote for few examples, like you have to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Like it's not necessary, like, you know, if it's winter, you don't need that much water.
Totally.
And if it's summer, you may need
a
more
lot
than 8 glasses, you
correct,
know.
Correct.
So it's all like depends on the person to person and depends on the season. So these are all many other myths, you know, like I can quote many other things like gluten-free diet is very good for your health. In fact, gluten-free diet is only for celiac disease because they are not able to digest the protein.
Right.
And many of the fat diets like keto diet, So these are mostly, I think this well-being is mostly a consumer market.
Right now, yes.
Right
yes.
now. Mm. So I'll advise, stick to simple, which I have mentioned earlier, like sleep adequate, eat nourishing foods, like,
mm-hmm.
and exercise. And don't be guilty about anything, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Nowadays, I think we're more guilty than we are happy with what we
yeah.
do.
Yeah. So that's all well-being is about, you know.
Right. Wow. Wonderfully, wonderfully said. So also this episode is around summer wellness. What do you think is the importance of summer wellness and how do we take care of our well-being during summer specifically?
So staying healthy in summer is all about simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some few like advice I will give on like lifestyle changes you can do in summer. Like eat healthy and light, small frequent meals, so they are easy to digest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And skin routine is very important, like using sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Like every 2 to 3 hours you can apply sunscreen, and adequate hydration.
Mm-hmm.
Even avoid harsh sunlight by wearing cap covering your head.
Mm-hmm.
And wearing breezy clothes, light colored clothes, and especially you can wear cotton, which are very good for your skin, and protect your eyes also with sunglasses when you're going out.
Mm-hmm.
And I will advise to avoid alcohol or limit your alcohol intake and caffeine intake. So you can substitute those things with buttermilk,
mm-hmm.
curd, or some lemonades.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They are the better options.
True.
During summer.
Mm-hmm.
And like stay indoors as much as possible, especially in the afternoon, you know, from 12 noon to evening 5. So that's the best time you can stay indoors.
Correct.
And avoid outside food because they are calorie loaded,
mm-hmm.
and not easy to digest.
Mm-hmm.
So, and add lots of fruits, you know, like melons, muskmelon, the seasonal fruits. I recommend seasonal fruits like muskmelon, watermelon. In India, mango, even
yeah.
papaya. And many other fruits which are seasonal,
right.
especially in summer. So you can add those. I will recommend few tips by a famous nutritionist, Rujita Divekar, to beat the summer heat, especially in tropical countries. Like she recommends to drink water out of a matka or pot and drink enough to ensure that your urine is crystal clear or clearless. This helps lower the body's core temperature. And have a glass of kokum sherbet with soaked sabza seeds. Sabza seeds as
tapioca.
Sabza seeds as your pre-lunch snack. This helps in restoring electrolyte balance in your body.
Right.
Have curd rice for lunch. It helps regulate your blood sugar levels. It is a very good pre and probiotic meal. Have gulkan milk at a bedtime. It ensures you have a restful sleep. And having mango every day, either with lunch or a mid-afternoon snack, even diabetics should have it because it is rich in vitamin B, which calms your nerves and provides long-lasting energy. Drink a glass of fennel seed, or in India we call it as Variali Sherbat. It's a drink made from fennel seeds, which are usually consumed after a meal for digestion. I'll mention some few benefits, like it reduces water retention, prevents constipation, indigestion and bloating, helps in purifying blood. It improves your eyesight and regulates blood pressure. You make a simple sherbet by using the seeds, water and sugar, and keep it overnight and have this water, this sherbet in the morning, and it really improves your bad odor also. It improves your bowel movement, treating irritable bowel syndrome and reduces bloating and other digestive issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing which I will like to add is this a root called wala root or a vetiver or khas root. You can add it to your drinking water.
Good.
Like it's an Indian root mostly found in coolers.
You know
Raina, in Rajasthan we use coolers.
Right.
So which gives us cool air. This root you can just put it in your water, glass of water, soak it for 3 hours and then have it. By drinking this water, it will give you a cooling and calming effect, especially during this time when everyone is exhausted.
Correct.
And you can use this sandalwood paste for bathing, you know,
okay. mm-hmm.
this bathing, it helps in cooling your body and keeps you fragrant throughout the day. It is more like a natural therapy for your skin. It has an antiseptic properties which heal your skin and gives you healthy and beautiful skin. It also soothes your sunburn and removes tan. It will also reduce the signs of aging and boost your mood. And other some ground rules which she recommends is don't start your day with caffeine.
Yeah.
Or tea rather. Like rather than you can start with a fruit or some nuts. Eat home cooked meals as often as possible. And the most important is you should eat what grows around you. Like what is seasonal and mostly which is cooked in your kitchen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing.
Okay. Wow, I think these remedies and these tips are very, very helpful, especially because in India, I think all of this is like rightly available. And I'm sure a couple of things that you mentioned are available across the world. And we can start off our summer wellness with one of these tips. And, you know, we are all a work in progress, right? Since we are moving towards the end of the episode, let's say I want to kickstart on my wellness journey. How would you recommend I start? Do we have a process in place?
Rana, for starting any journey, the first step is always the hardest. It's most difficult. So I will advise not to set unrealistic targets to lose weight or in matter anything.
Right.
Like changing your diet or doing some kind of exercise.
Not doing anything drastic.
Yeah. So take small steps at a time.
Right.
And one more thing is you can pick a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can do 5-day detox thing. You can do some time cycling, a better sleep schedule. I will rather put it, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you.
Right.
So pick a challenge.
Correct.
Which will help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can start a blog. These days it is very trending.
Right.
Most important is you do what you enjoy.
Yes. I think in this entire process we all forget to enjoy.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, that is wonderful. So the entire episode has come out to be wonderful. So thank you so much for your time and all your expertise in the Summer Wellness series. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Raina. It's been a delight to be on your show. I hope all my expertise and tips will definitely help in your wellness journey.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.